Bonjour, je suis Jenna Suru et aujourd'hui j'ai l'honneur de recevoir au micro Luis Felipe, le directeur ou plutôt l'un des deux directeurs réalisateurs du film que Ridley Scott a lui-même mentionné comme étant une expérience impressionniste ou impressionnante du Cosmovision. Et c'est vraiment un plaisir aujourd'hui de parler de ce film qui est un documentaire qui s'appelle Wow Rani. Luis Felipe s'est également inspiré de ce qu'on appelle aussi aux États-Unis le cinéma vérité. Et dans le cadre de sa campagne pour les Oscars suite à deux projections à Los Angeles, je le reçois donc aujourd'hui. Hola, bonjour, hello Luis, how are you today?
Bonjour, I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me in your program.
You're certainly most welcome and congratulations on the massive success of the screenings that you had so far as part of your
Thank you.
qualification for an Academy Award. How exciting that is!
Well, that's very exciting. Personally, I'm more excited about my promise to the uncontacted semi-contacted tribes that have worked in this film, which is, by them for them. But on my side, my promise is to bring this to the biggest mediatic outlet possible so that this cause that the film holds becomes a cause of international interest that ha gets enough pressure to help them fight against corporatocracy and, political interests. So I'm very excited that we're on the right path and hopefully we'll get to the finish line.
Beautiful path for Wow Rani that is only starting. You chose with your co-director, Louisiana Carcelin. Why choosing a short film and cinema to indeed go beyond the lines and maybe find a better route for any individual on this beautiful planet?
Well, first of all, I would say that Luisana did a journalistic work for many years that was spending time with the communities. I come from a family of explorers of many generations, so I've been exploring the Amazon for many, many years, since 27 years ago. So I'm familiar with this. And together, I think we needed to bring to life an immersive experience that was made for these communities to use as an academic syllabus. As they don't read or write, they can show this to their future generations to link to their identity, their culture, and to preserve their ancient forms, which are very important when we are talking about a community that is in the verge of extinction and that lives in the most biodiverse area of the planet that is also on a very big danger to be completely taken out by corporatocratic powers.
Without any further ado, I can only approve Ridley Scott when he says that your film, Wow Rani, is like an experience, an experiment of the Cosmovision. It's impressive. As we would say in France, it's part of impressionnisme. There is a, without saying anything at all from the film, there is definitely a sense of beautiful, thriving nature that we can really live through Wow Rani and encouraging for sure the audience to also take action within their daily routine. And behind this, understandably, because sometimes we can feel so tiny for our audience, for our partners, even for France, which is a relatively smaller country. How can we take action to help our planet and, in particular, in the media fields at large? Can you give maybe a form of recommendation for our audience for listening us today?
Well, yes, that's a very valid question, and thank you for saying it. So literally, our movie is now focusing on getting to all documentary branch academy members to be seen And obviously, there's a lot of films in the race, and you know, a lot of films that are backed up by studios and that have a lot of budgets to get the attention from these voters. And that's a difficult task when that happens, to you know, convince the branch, documentary branch members, they have to see this one. But if you know, the audience hearing this know anybody that is on this documentary branch of the Academy, or anybody that knows someone that is on the documentary branch and can put the word out for them to go into their system, in the Academy system, and look at it, that's already a lot, because they just have to see it. And I'm pretty sure they will have this call of duty where this nomination or this shortlist will not be for us, the directors. It will be for these people that have no voice. We're just their voice outside of their habitat. And I think that we all have to join that representation of them in the outside world for people to hear what they're experiencing, and their struggle and their fight.
Some museums in the world, as an example, the MBAM in Montreal, Canada, have experimented forms of around anthropology to better advocate for the youth and old generations to take action. And concrete examples of how we can improve our future, improve mental health, and improve probably a better eco-consciousness. Would you encourage those outlets to campaign with you for the Oscar? And can you walk us a little more through your work with Lucena Carcelén in terms of promoting the film and sharing it with a wide audience?
Yes, of course. Of course, I'm welcoming any type of institution that can be interested in helping out to spread the word and create conscience. We're focusing on different goals. We started premiering this movie in the EU Parliament, in front of the Congress, EU parliamentaries, in front of UN executives, in front of many NGOs. And it was a big success. We brought somebody from the jungle to give them also, for the first time, a message. And after that, we got the prize of the Oscar qualifying Rhode Island Film Festival that got us qualified. And now, you know, we're running in the Oscars, which is our main goal right now, getting to, you know, all people that are wanting to help in this cause, call attention to the people that actually vote on this branch, documentary branch of the Academy, to get to the next step. Regarding our work with Louisiana, it was obviously quite difficult because we had a lot of footage we had to bring into a very cinematic, immersive experience. We always wanted to find the path of the understanding of the Guarani perspective, right? So that's why this film is an introspection into the cosmovision, which is the way they perceive the world, of the uncontacted. And I think ultimately we reach the level where these communities can accept this film as theirs, and they feel comfortable about sharing it with future generations, so that they will always remember where they come from and what they have to fight for, which is very important in any culture. So hoping right now that that happens on their side, we're fighting on our side to also bring them international attention, and with it, the help they need from organizations to help them save their environment, which is, as I said before, the most biodiverse part of the planet. 1 square meter of these 500,000 hectares that is called Yasuni, the territory they defend, the Waurani people, holds the same biodiversity of insects that the United States and Canada all together. Can you imagine the richness there is? But sadly, under the same territory, we hold by a square meter one of the biggest oil reserves in the Amazon. So there's a lot of interest from corporations to exploit this area and to pass laws to be able to do it. As you know, the uncontacted are people that don't have a voice. You see, they have no way of expressing themselves into the outside world. And that's why we have compromised to be the voice of those that don't have a voice, including the uncontacted tribes, the animals, the trees, and everything as they perceive it. They're part of nature, unlike us, that we feel a part of nature.
In France, there is a sentence we sometimes repeat in schools, and that's sometimes common knowledge, that says knowledge is power. Would you agree? And would you consider that knowledge can sometimes also be the opposite of power, or somehow also a form of disinformation?
Yes, of course. It depends on the knowledge and it depends on the times. I think, you know, our self-awareness as humans of being the rulers of the world has created a very big conflict into that knowledge. You see, we're so focused on constructing a castle that it's so big that will at some point not be able to sustain itself. And that destroys the same a concept of wisdom and conscience, right? So we I think we have to start looping into another resource, you know, and that's the ancient knowledge, the knowledge where people are connected to nature and still feel part of nature, unlike us, that we are supposed to be commanders of nature, at least in our subconscious, even if we feel different. So this is my driving force as a filmmaker, and I think it's the source of power of this film too.
Isn't it love and peace at the end of the day that really run this world? But at the same time, the planet also needs science to better thrive today. How do you think that we can teach better science within our communities, small or large? Is it a foundation? Is it mostly within a family? Without talking too much about the film, because it's such a beautiful jewel, I almost don't want to talk anything about it. I think, as you said, it's just, you just need to watch it, and preferably in a cinema. I just would love for you to express, you know, as the director, creative producer, how you think that beyond the watch of the film, the audience can also somehow share the love for our planet and also the sense of creation and protecting all communities, regardless of where they're from or raised.
Well, I think, yes, I think that the young crowds are much more aware, because they're going to be the ones that actually, the biggest losers of this time in history will be the young crowds. And they're aware, and they are looking for ways to connect with science. You know, I think science is the key. I think culture, creativeness, culture, and science are the key for a ruling force in the future, because politics don't work anymore. Politics are putting now, sadly, as always, in a good way before, now in a negative way, they're putting profits before life. And scientists and artists are not thinking about that. They're thinking about the essence. And I think scientists and artists will probably save the world if we get them to have the real power they deserve.
They, at least in France, I wouldn't dare to talk about international, but in a class of 44 engineer students, they are likely to be perhaps four females. Your film is very clear about the role of females within those communities and even ancient love. What is your feeling about that, and what should be addressed? And also, what can cinema do about this? How can we improve the general universe and culture around those niche knowledge that is so precious for us, at least?
Well, you see, the female in history has always been the source of transmission of the ways into the future. You know, the motherhood, and it's such a big bond that transcends gender. In the case of the film, the reason that these ladies, part of this community, are our main subject is because they have been victims of the corporatic powers and corruption, in the sense that they're semi-contacted, some of them, as you remember in the film. And when they started their life with their children and husband, the husband were given alcohol, drugs, prostitutes, and this man became crazy. The only people that were still sane were the female, and they had to run back to the jungle with their children. And they're trapped between the contacted tribes that don't want to see them again, as when you touch an egg of a bird that doesn't want to be, you know, the mother will not take it. It's the same thing. And they're, you know, on the other side, threatened by the corporatic powers, where already their men are hostage in their mind. And I think it's not about a gender thing. I think it's a thing of vulnerability. And that this is why these women have taken the lead now to fight against corporocracy. And my personal journey with filmmaking is putting light on the atrocities that the corporocratic powers and the corrupt politicians have with those that don't have a voice. And I'm not just talking about humans. I'm talking about, right now I'm shooting a film here in the Galapagos with animals. And I'm creating something beautiful and immersive that will also tell us what they're going through in a very personal way. And there's no humans in it. So my drive doesn't stop just with humans, because we, as I see, are part of nature, not apart from it. And I want people, through the medium of filmmaking, to change their perception towards there.
And to conclude this interview, before you head away, filming this week your new film, I do want to touch on a moment in your film that I thought was extremely enlightening, without divulging anything, the sense of trust that also can be a key sometimes for survival in those moments that are filled with fear and sometimes even may determine whether you will live or not. But trust is such a difficult feeling to express. You did it so beautifully in Guarani. How can we develop better awareness or trust within our world for the youth in particular who are listening us, and maybe they feel that they don't have access to the correct outlets, or maybe they don't even have access to a cinema or to a film that is qualified or, you know, Oscar nominated? Or film festivals a good route, or would you have other ideas that you are happy to share with us today?
Well, as I said, I'm a big fan of French anthropologists. I told you before our interview started, a French anthropologist, Jean Roush, for me, is someone that it's a good example in this question, because he was an anthropologist that studied the behavior of ethnics and humans. Specifically, his field of interest was Africa. You only need an interest and passion about it, and then you have cameras in your phone that are so good as any camera that you can think of. Don't think about the outcome. Think about the passion and the interest you have. The outcome will come because it's a reflection of those passions and those interests. Just like Jean Roush, or just like my other reference, Jacques Cousteau. You see, passion drives you everywhere. And your films or your vision will be an introspection for anyone if you just trust your passion and you do things with love.
Merci Luis Felipe, c'était pour la radio du cinéma. Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.